This is Liberation Radio.
Capitalism needs poverty.
A world run by a handful of greedy bankers and CEOs who nobody elected can't possibly last.
Whatever we could do, we're gonna do, especially in continuing to preserve this earth.
Each week, we bring you interviews, commentary, analysis, political developments, and struggles affecting workers throughout the country as a way to build the movement for socialism in the United States.
The revolution will be broadcast.
The only thing that will ever defeat racism will be the defeat of its parents, capitalism and imperialism.
Without smashing mass incarceration, working people of all nationalities cannot have justice.
Liberation Radio is brought to you by the Party for Socialism and Liberation.
Welcome to Liberation Radio. I'm your host, Sean Garcia. On this episode, we discuss the civil war unfolding in Yemen that has gotten the go-ahead from the U.S. But first, we are playing part two of the presentation where Ben Kabambe, a Congolese youth leader, provides a history and update on the resistance movement against neocolonialism in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. We'll be playing the final part, part three of this presentation next week.
On a vu Che Guevara qui voulait la liberté pour le peuple africain, il est venu au Congo pour commencer cette lutte-là.
And we take, for example, Che Guevara, who wanted the liberation of African people, and he came to the Congo to begin to initiate this process.
Et Malcolm X, qui voulait la fierté des Noirs américains, il a parlé de l'Afrique, de Lumumba. En parlant de Lumumba, il voulait parler de toute l'Afrique et de l'identité des Noirs qui sont ici.
Et Malcolm X, who fought for the pride of Africans, he spoke about Lumumba. He spoke about Lumumba within the context of the Congo. And he also spoke about Africa in the sense that we're fighting for our identity.
Et on a commencé à enseigner les citoyens un ensemble de droits et devoirs qui font de leur appartenance à l'État.
Encore, s'il vous plaît.
On a commencé à enseigner les citoyens.
They began to teach the civilians, the citizens.
Un ensemble de droits et devoirs. Ensemble de droits et devoirs.
In regard to their rights and their responsibilities.
Qui font de leur appartenance à l'État.
That bonded them or tied them to the state.
Et le rôle et responsabilité de chaque acteur dans la société.
And the role and responsibility of each individual, each layer of the society.
Et de comprendre leur pays et le rôle de leur pays pour l'Afrique.
And teach them also to understand their country and the role of their country in the Africa in general.
Et c'est à ce moment-là que nous avons décidé d'avoir un nom pour notre organisation.
And it's at this moment that we decided to have an organization.
Donc avoir un nom pour notre organisation.
And the name for the organization.
Et les gens ont dit, nous sommes là pour créer une nouvelle société. Nous devons être jeunesse pour une nouvelle société.
And our members said that we're here to create a new society. So we should name the organization Youth for a New Society.
Et nous allons, donc notre but, c'est pourvoir à la société congolaise d'un leadership nouveau et à tous les niveaux de la société.
Our goal, our aim is to create a new society and create a new leadership and have leadership at every level of Congolese society.
Et nous allons nous battre pour la liberté et les droits de l'homme.
And we're fighting for liberty and human rights.
Et de 97, donc 97 en 2007, il y a eu plus de 6 millions de morts au Congo. Il y a eu les Nations Unies qui étaient présentes et ils n'ont rien fait pour nous.
From 1997 to 2007, there are over 6 million dead in the Congo. You have the United Nations that's there, that's present, and they haven't done anything for us.
Et à chaque fois qu'il y a, il y a une guerre, la manière dont la communauté internationale demande des négociations, c'est donner le poste au chef de guerre.
Every time there's a war and the way the international community implicates itself is to give positions to those who initiated the war in the first place.
Et nous avons perdu confiance aux Nations Unies.
And we lost confidence or faith in the United Nations.
Parce qu'il y a des armes qui tuent les gens ici chez nous au Congo qui ce sont les pays membres des Nations Unies qui fabriquent ces armes, mais chez nous, on ne fabrique pas les armes.
The arms, the weapons that are used to kill people in the Congo, it's those nations who are part of the United Nations that those arms come from. We don't make weapons in the Congo.
Parce qu'il y a plus d'un million de jeunes qui sont orphelins aujourd'hui au Congo.
There's over a million young people who are orphans.
Il y a des milliers de femmes qui sont violées tous les jours.
Thousands of women raped every day.
Et quand on a commencé à faire pression au gouvernement sur tout cela,
when we began to put pressure on the government to do something about this
condition, ils nous ont considérés comme leurs ennemis.
They then consider us enemy of the state.
À chaque fois qu'on se lève pour réclamer justice ou liberté quelque part, il y a la garde présidentielle ou la police qui tire sur nous, il y a toujours des morts.
Every time we stand up for justice and we get into the streets, one of us, somebody dies whenever we demonstrate.
Les rebelles prennent par exemple le contrôle de la ville de Goma. Nous, on descend dans la rue pour réclamer leur départ, qu'ils puissent libérer la ville. Le gouvernement envoie la garde présidentielle et la police tire sur nous.
For example, the rebels, they captured the city of Goma. So we go in the streets to protest this, and the presidential guard, they fire on the peaceful demonstrators.
Et c'est à ce moment-là que nous avons compris que et notre gouvernement aussi fait partie des problèmes.
And it's this moment that we understood that our government is a part of the problem.
Et on doit essayer de s'organiser encore mieux. C'est pour cela qu'on a organisé, on commence à organiser et à travailler avec les femmes qui ont été violées pour réconforter leur morale.
And we understood that we had to organize better. And it's this moment that we started organizing with the women who have been raped as an effort to also boost their morale.
Et elles sont en train de reprendre confiance en elles et en nous.
And they began to regain confidence in themselves and also in us as young people.
Et elles ont compris maintenant leur rôle, qu'elles peuvent utiliser leur talent pour gagner leur vie et rendre service à leur communauté.
And they understood better their role, that they could use their talents to earn a living and be a contributing factor to the society.
Et c'est elles qui ont fabriqué les chemises qui sont là derrière.
And it's these women that have made the shirts that you see on the table back there.
Elles nous donnent ça pour aller avec ça partout pour témoigner qu'elles sont là. Elles ont repris morale.
They have given these shirts so that we can take them with us wherever we go as a form of witness that they've regained the morale.
Et elles disent, tout celui qui veut comprendre notre souffrance, comprendre notre lutte, peut acheter la chemise et le mettre, c'est historique.
And the shirts have historical significance, and for those who want to understand our fight and our struggle, the women say when you buy those shirts, you're really buying into the history and the story of that the women.
On s'organise avec les étudiants, on s'organise avec la communauté, on s'organise avec les femmes. Il y a maintenant les enfants orphelins qui viennent pour nous dire, et nous alors?
Okay, so we organize with the students, we organize with the women, we organize with the community. So you have the little children are coming to us and say, what about us?
Et on travaille maintenant avec eux aussi.
And now we work with children as well.
Et notre président est au pouvoir. On nous l'a imposé depuis 2001 jusqu'à aujourd'hui.
Our president is in power. He was imposed on us from 2001 to the present.
Et depuis qu'il est là, il n'a rien fait pour le peuple.
And since he's been there, he hasn't done anything for the people.
C'est le parent qui paye l'école des enfants de l'école maternelle jusqu'à l'université.
And it's the parents who pay for schooling from early childhood right up to university level.
C'est les parents qui payent la santé.
It's the parents who pay for healthcare.
Et c'est les parents qui payent presque tout.
And the parents who pay just about for everything.
Et en 2006, on va organiser les premières élections avec lui.
And in 2006, the first elections were organized with the current president.
Les élections, ça s'est passé comme tel, et sa garde a tiré sur les gens. Il y a eu des morts.
His presidential guard at that time had fired up on people, and people died.
Et il y a 2011 encore, on va organiser les élections qu'il a perdu, la communauté internationale nous l'a imposé.
Elections were organized again in 2011, which he lost, we believe he lost it, and the international community again imposed him on us.
Et nous avons compris que nous devons le faire partir de force.
And we realized that we have to make him leave by force.
Parce que nous sommes un peuple libre.
Because we're a free people.
Et ça ne peut pas continuer comme ça parce que la volonté du Père de notre indépendance ce n'était pas celle-là.
And it, things must not continue as they've been going because the wishes or the aim of our Father of Independence wasn't for us to live in the condition that we're living in today.
Et nous avons mis maintenant en place un réseau qui s'appelle Filimbi, où on travaille ensemble directement avec les mamans, les orphelins, les jeunes et toute la communauté.
So we put in place a network called Filimbi, where we work with the women, we work with the young, we work with all of the community.
On a généralisé maintenant les combats.
So we broadened the fight.
Et le président a atteint ses deux mandats. En 2016, ça va terminer. Il est en train maintenant de chercher comment il va rester au pouvoir en changeant la Constitution.
The president has two terms and is limited by the Constitution to those two terms, and he's seeking a way to stay in power beyond his two-term limits according to the Constitution. And he's looking to change the Constitution to make that happen.
Et nous nous sommes levés pour dire tu n'as pas les droits, tu ne peux pas changer la Constitution.
So we rose up to say you don't have the right, you don't have the right to change the Constitution.
Ils savaient qu'on était prêts à mourir pour ça.
And he knew that we were ready to die for that.
Et il a eu peur, il n'a pas changé la Constitution.
So he had fear, he was fearful, and he didn't change the Constitution.
Et ils ont voulu maintenant passer par modifier la loi électorale pour conditionner les élections avec le recensement pour qu'il reste au pouvoir.
So what he sought to do was to modify an electoral law and condition the electoral law on a census so that he could as a means for him to remain in power.
Parce que le recensement devait durer 4 ans à partir de 2016 jusqu'à 2019, 4 ans. Et donc 2015 à 2019, 4 ans, et lui devait toujours être là au pouvoir en train d'attendre que le recensement puisse prendre.
So this census that he was tying to the electoral law, it's understood that it would take about 4 years, so from 2015 to 2019 to do the census, and you had to do the census according to the electoral law before you can hold presidential elections. So this would, in essence, enable the president to remain in power right up through 2019.
Again, that was part two of the presentation by Ben Kambambe. You can listen to part one, which we aired 2 weeks ago on Liberation Radio, and you can listen to the final part again next week on Liberation Radio. You can find out more about the Congolese struggle by going to www.friendsofthecongo.org. Next, we speak with Jane Cutter, editor of Liberation News. She details the forces behind the civil war unfolding in Yemen. Yemen is currently under bombing attacks by neighboring Saudi Arabia with the blessing of the U.S. All right, Jane, can you explain the factional situation in Yemen?
Sure. To start with, I think it's important to understand what's going on in Yemen right now as the Gulf Cooperation Council is engaging in bombing of the country, that there is a really severe humanitarian crisis occurring. They're bombing densely populated areas such as the city of Sana'a. They're bombing camps for displaced people, and over 100 civilians have been killed. Many children are dying as a result of this bombing. So on top of what's already been a severe humanitarian situation with a lack of access to water, health care, it being the poorest Arab country, it's just getting worse for the Yemeni people. In terms of the factional situation in Yemen, we're looking at a situation where there's a great many different groupings on the ground in Yemen. The groups that you hear about a lot are the Houthis, and they come from the north. They are a tribal group. Also, they are Zaydi Shias, so that's a particular form of Islam, of Shia Islam, that's only found in Yemen. About 40% of Yemenis altogether are Zaydis. And they've been engaged in struggle with the central government for a number of years. And in September of 2014, they came down into the capital city of Sena and basically took over. And since then, they've been moving south and now have reached Aden, the southern capital, and there's ongoing fighting occurring there. We have a number of different tribal groups in different parts of the country. There's the Marab tribes who have been resisting the advance of the Houthis. There's the Hadrami Tribal Confederation, a different tribal grouping that are have a secessionist slant, although they are separate from the other southern secessionist groups. They would like to have autonomy in their region. There's a Baida tribes who have occasionally formed some alliances with Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, and they're opposed to the advancement of the Houthis. There's the Southern movement for separation or socialism, which are referred to as the Herak fighters. They're the armed wing of the Southern secessionist movement. And then there's also the popular committees, which support the now resigned President Hadi. And they have also been engaged in fighting both against AQAP and against the Houthis. So it's a pretty complicated mixture. There's also, just a week or so ago, a new group popped up affiliated with Islamic State called Sana Province that carried out a very brutal series of bombings that killed about 140 some people. Mm. So as you can see, there's a very complex array of different groups, each fighting for their own advancement and also fighting, opposing some of the other forces. I want to say something about the Houthis. They've been portrayed as being supported by, to various extents, by Iran. And oftentimes this is done in a way to paint the whole conflict as if it were just a sectarian Sunni versus Shia conflict. And I really think that's inaccurate. Way of sort of just laying this narrative onto a situation where it really doesn't fit. And, I mean, it's unclear to what extent Iran is or is not involved in the situation. The charge has been made by Saudi Arabia that Iran is very involved, that there's that they're providing aid and arms. In a way, I think that may, and then that's been disputed both by Iran and by the Houthis themselves. So I don't know if it's really possible to ascertain exactly what the truth is. I think that Iran is certainly favorable to the Houthis, but it's unclear to me to what extent they're actually being supported by Iran directly, but that's the charge that's been laid at them, and one of the reasons why I think that Saudi Arabia is justifying their actions, that they are countering Iran's influence in the region.
So what would you say is the motivation of the Gulf states?
That, again, is a really good question. And I think it goes to really some larger issues that have to do with the role of imperialism globally. I think one of the motives, so we know that, you know, Saudi Arabia and the other Gulf states are very much, have functioned very much as kind of loyal puppets of U.S. imperialism. But, of course, they don't always do absolutely everything, you know, exactly to order by the United States. Similar to Israel, as we just saw recently, with sort of the kerfuffle over Netanyahu speaking in the United States. You know, sometimes the puppets kind of go off and do their own thing, if you will. I've seen some different analysis on this, and I think some of it makes some sense, that the Saudi government clearly wanted to take this action, and the U.S., of course, has not opposed it. There may have been some interest in attempting to scuttle the Iran nuclear negotiations, which clearly they've failed to do, seeing as how a deal was reached today as we speak. But that may have been a motivation. The sense that the United States, if push came to shove, the United States was not going to come to their rescue if hostile forces threatened to overturn their regime. I mean, it's really, you know, they claim to be doing this to protect the so-called legitimate president of Yemen, President Hadi. And to say that he is the legitimate president at this stage of the game is pretty humorous, really, because he actually resigned and left the country and then asked for a foreign power to bomb the country. So that doesn't, to me, seem very legitimate. However, and of course, you know, in the interest of democracy, of course, they're bombing bombing Yemen. And of course, Saudi Arabia is about the farthest thing from a democratic state there could possibly be. So the, you know, the stated aims and the actual aims obviously differ. So I think there may be an element of wanting to assert themselves more strongly in the region and to make sure that they're sort of taking care of their own interests and not simply relying on the United States to protect them.
So do you think this this development, this current situation, is signaling some kind of break between the U.S. and the Gulf states?
Well, you know, I think only time will tell. I don't think it's a very deep break. I think that U.S. policy is in the region, as we have seen with, well, the region broadly speaking, the Arab world and the Muslim world, has been this sort of very poorly thought out, just sort of doing the next thing that seems like it's going to help them maintain global dominance and regional dominance without really thinking about the long-term repercussions. And that's what's led, of course, to the development of the Islamic State and the situations that we're seeing developing today. And I think so there's sort of this, the U.S. is just kind of going from crisis to crisis and doing its, doing these sort of different things without really thinking of the long term. And my sense is that the, some of these other players who have been sort of under the wing of imperialism are kind of branching out and doing their own thing, sort of almost in response to the sense that the United States isn't really a very predictable or necessarily most powerful force to hook yourself to, if you will. So they're just kind of, everyone is just sort of going off and doing their own thing. I don't know if it's really a break with the United States in the sense of that they are fundamentally opposed to the same interests, right? And the U.S. is, in fact, providing support, logistical support, intelligence support, and of course, they've been the providers of the weaponry that they're using in this brutal bombing campaign. So I don't think it's a, at this point, it's not like a huge breach, but that there's definitely, I don't know, there may be a changing of the relationship, I think, that we may be seeing. It's hard to tell. I mean, I think it requires a lot more analysis and a lot more study, and unfortunately, of course, we're not on the ground there, and so we're forced to rely on second party, you know, sort of sources that are removed from the actual events as they unfold.
Well, we'll keep watching the situation in Yemen, and Jane, hopefully we'll get you back on here soon.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Jane. That's all for Liberation Radio. I'm Sean Garcia. Please remember this program is available free for broadcast by community and public radio stations. You can encourage your local radio station to air Liberation Radio. They can visit liberationradio.org for details. Tune in next week for more from the Struggle for Justice.
You have been listening to Liberation Radio, a weekly program from the Party for Socialism and Liberation. You can find us online at liberationradio.org to listen to past shows and connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. Some of what you heard during this program are Creative Commons licensed compositions. Our theme music and some music segments were performed by Six Fingers and used with permission of the artists. Liberation Radio is produced by the Party for Socialism and Liberation to help build the struggle for socialism in the United States. The PSL is a party of activists and organizers. We are in the streets at the demonstrations and picket lines, opposing cutbacks and attacks on workers, standing up to police brutality, fighting for immigrant rights, and struggling against racism, sexism, homophobia, and all forms of bigotry. We stand in solidarity with oppressed peoples around the world resisting imperialism. We believe the crimes of capitalism call for a new kind of society, and we are committed to fighting for it. To find a PSL branch near you, see our upcoming events and learn more about how you can get involved. PSLweb.org. Again, that's PSLweb.org. Also, the PSL's Liberation newspaper online at liberationnews.org, where you can read our news articles and analysis or purchase a subscription to the print edition. Thank you for listening.